Don't touch me there. This is my no-no square. Hello, everybody. What's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, here with my no-no square. And today we are back for another What Else With This Crazy Fucking Intro, Drunk and Dangerous. Yes, your favorite, whatever the fuck this is back. Aren't you happy? I don't care either way. I'm still gonna do it. Actually, I am happy. I take it back. Regardless of how you feel, I am happy because I am extremely high. This episode brought to you by, and in no way sponsored, but I enjoy, Rove Vapes. Today I am enjoying their Indica Kush. Indica Kush, it tastes like blueberries. Good as hell, y'all. All right. How has everyone... I was about to go straight into the stories, and I was like, what am I doing? Nobody wants that. Psh, get out of here. Actual narration immediately. No, thank you. So, how is everybody doing? Has everybody had the most amazing and magical... What even is it? December week of day? God, this is terrible. I'm doing terrible already. Who needs a calendar anymore? I can't go outside. It's December. I know that because there are Christmas trees everywhere, but then I think, wait a minute... But there are still Christmas trees in November. The stores practically put them up as soon as Halloween's over, so who's even to say it's December? But it is. I'm not crazy yet. No. Just I. It's December. I don't know where the hell am I in this conversation. As you can see, I'm high enough for these creepypastas. It's December. Who knows when? I think it's the 8th, actually. Yeah. I got my microphone delivered in today. My new binaural. It's going to be really good, you guys. I'm very, very excited to play with it. It's going to be a freaking blast. And I'm hoping that I can put out some really, really good binaural stuff. Hopefully. Did I even pronounce that correct? I give it up for myself. Give it up for me. My attempts at the English language. It only goes downhill from here. I assure you. It's, you know, one of those days. Long day. Long day. Lots of editing. Time for me to wreck my brain even more. Well, with that nonsense out of the way, God help me, sober me when I have to listen to this again and go, oh God, am I sure I want to post this? And I'll go, yes, you will. It humbles you. All right. We're back now with another installment of the worst rated creepypastas. Again, the author's names will be withheld to protect the innocent from the ramifications of my reading their stories and mocking them. They not know what they did. Well, maybe they did. They probably didn't. Honestly, if you're writing this, and it's not obviously a troll, and it's this bad, you probably aren't aware it's that bad. In which case, it's really funny, but I also feel bad for laughing. But we're gonna do it right now, okay. The next story is called White Room, with a grand total of 3.62 stars. White Room. The subjects awoke in what looked to be a huge room with large mirrors on the walls above. Oh, I know what they're for. It's a fucking room. It's like a swingers club. Like, oh my God. Some kind of... Ooh, you know what that would be? That'd be really good porn. Be like a ripoff of Saw. But it would be Saw, but like, when they wake up, there are like a bunch of people watching him through a window. Like, they saw them. I know, it's really stupid. I'm sorry. That'd be important. And then it's like, we're gonna play a game. You're gonna let these rich people beat their meat while they watch you try to escape from these traps. But you're also naked. I mean, honestly, I'd watch it. But then again, my taste in movies is famously terrible. The concrete walls and floor were painted white. Very recently, too, as some parts were still drying. All three were dressed in white jumpsuits. The man stood up, holding his head like he had a hangover, and then looked over and saw his cellmates, a woman and a child. Well, I hope that's not the sex scene anymore. I immediately regret that initial thought I had. No, it is not. It is not that. He first thought they were mother and child. Oh, what are you doing, stepson? The woman on her hands and knees... was struggling to get up. But the child, who was an 8-year-old boy, you sicko, you better not been thinking nothing. helped her.
Hey!
The man shouting, startling them.
Hey! The man shouted, startling them. Who are you? And where am I?
Feeling like she just woke up from sleeping on a concrete floor, didn't she? The floor's made of concrete. So she feels like, okay, well, yes, she woke up from a concrete floor and felt like she woke up from sleeping on a concrete floor, as one does when they do. She coughs out. Now remember, you don't know this in the first place. I'll let me tell you once so I don't have to remind you. I swear English is escaping me like it is this author. Cough, spelled with an A. It's not a mistake. They do it many times, I can see just out of the corner of my eye. Cough has an A, so it's calf. Calf, I guess. She calfs out. Calf. I know about as much as you, calf, sir. The woman stood up to her feet with help from the boy. But that is a good question. The man and woman looked at the boy. I don't know, the boy said, awkwardly, while adverting eye contact and twisting the tip of his shoe on the floor. That was the best case he could make. He's an alien. Shoot him. What 8-year-old says, I don't know, and twists his fucking tip of his shoe? Was it like 1950s? I don't believe you. The man calmed down. Maybe this is jail or something. Maybe I got fucked up and they brought me in.
Watch your mouth in front of this child!
The woman angrily said to him. It just came out of her. That's why she was locked up. No one wants to hear that voice. She reminded both the guys of their mothers. What the fuck, man? Well, you gotta bash on women already. Both the guys? I mean, one of them's 8, but the other one's just a misogynist. I don't know. It's okay. I've heard worse at school. The boy told them that. But he also gave off the impression that he didn't cuss, when in fact, he could cuss with the best of him. I'm guessing this is that boy, grew up to be like 12 and wrote this story. So y'all two got zonked. Oh, wait, it's the kid.
So y'all two got zonked, but I don't know why I'm here.
That's what 8-year-old boy sounds like now. Just fight me.
All I remember was walking home from school.
Pretty sure he's an alien anyway. We decided this. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. He needs to have an alien voice if he's an alien.
So y'all two got zonked, but I don't know why I'm here. Beep boop. All I remember was walking home from human school.
You're pretty young to be walking home after school, the man asserted.
Hey, I didn't get zonked, all right. I was at my job on a 12-hour shift, last thing I remembered.
I mean, guess it was what job?
The job where I work. The place where adults go to make money.
Yeah, that's what I thought. 12-year-old writing this. The woman retorted as the boy started laughing in her frustration.
Ha ha ha, human amusement. Creep.
Suddenly, the alerted group turned their heads to the loud sound, like deer catching wind of something. A gate began to open, a dark hole revealing itself. The dark hole revealed itself, and it just gave it away for free. Why would anyone buy the gate when you can see the hole for free? No, really, it's a bad gate. It just opens at any time. The opening was rather small. But first thoughts were that maybe it's a way out. Maybe we could fit through there. We could get out and get... 4 long objects began emerging from the darkness. The objects looked like pointy bones with an edge on them. Following them, a large limb reached out from the black hole. Is it a vagina? Is it the haunted vagina they're coming out of? They weren't scared yet. They didn't understand what was happening, what was coming for them. The young robo boy, who you will not know the name of. What? Fuck you. The young boy who you will not know the name of? Why wouldn't you just say the young nameless boy? Otherwise, it sounds like you're taunting me. Fine, I didn't want to know the name. Fuck you. I don't want to know it anyway. Screw that name. It's probably dumb. Something like Jonathan Joe Johnson. The young boy who was also named Jonathan Joe Johnson, the robot boy. I've decided you can't keep that name from me. figures it out, that it was a hand with claws coming out of its five fingers. It had scales. The reptilian claw grabbed the side of the cage. Then another appeared and grabbed the other side. It pulled itself out of the dark hole and slunk to the ground. There was nothing they could do, their minds too busy raising with confusion and terror to realize what was about to happen to them. All they could do was stare at the thing in a state of, "What in God's name is that?" That's apparently the state. Not a state of wonder or a state of awe. It's in the state of, "What in the God's name is that?" I would like to see, like, a New York Times article, like, instead of shock, a state of shock, they just replace it with a state of, "What in God's name is that?" It would have made the articles about 9/11, like, really disrespectful. It stood up straight on its raptor-like feet. From the distance of about 50 yards, half the distance of the big white cell. It looked like a big man. It's capitalized, so... It made me think it was going to say Big Mac at first. Like, it was trademarked. That's why it was capitalized. And I was like, at first... Now, imagine this as I saw it. It looked like a Big Mac holding about 10 machetes who'd been burnt to black. Which, to me, I'm like, I'm picturing a Big Mac holding 10 knives and somebody burnt it in the oven. But it's a big man holding 10 machetes that got burnt to black. That's way less interesting. If it was somehow a giant living burnt hamburger that was like filled with knives, that's kind of amazing. But like a giant, it's spiked with knives like a big wheel, you know? But it's a Big Mac and just flings them as it like rolls toward you. Way cooler. But it's not this story because this story's lame, unlike a giant machete-covered burning Big Mac villain, which would be the best. From about 20 yards, I have the munchies, how can you tell? It was a monster out of your worst nightmares. Standing still with, well, that's not out of my worst nightmares, standing still. My nightmares, they chase me. With arms stretching out, twisting its head and neck about, like it had been stuck in a damned, in that damned cramp hole. For too long. You know, damned cramp hole. I gotta say, the next time I stay in a hotel room that is too small to be comfortable, I promise you, I will call it a damned cramp hole in a Yelp review. And if you can find damned cramp hole, no, it's from me or this author. Damned cramp hole. This room was a damned cramp hole. And you'd be like, oh, so you know, if you know who sleeps there, Krampus. That's what I thought. Damned cramp hole. It was a Christmas story. It talks about the cramp hole. Dark black and red scales covered its body. Its head hung at its shoulders. Its mouth, no wider than a human's, filled with sharp teeth. Its arms lowering to its sides, its long claws clanging together. Then the creature's glowing red eyes met the group's. Frozen in absolute fear, not a sound made, not a muscle moved, as the three stood still like statues. I don't believe the 8-year-old did. Unable to make their bodies do anything. Their bodies knew better. Bullshit. Bullshit. You are telling me their body chose between fight, flight, or freeze, and it knew not to choose the other two, but just to freeze. Bullshit. Fuck you. You don't choose that shit. Whatever. Fuck you. They could feel themselves being pierced by its gaze. Those red eyes stared into them with absolute joy. Joy for what it's about to do to them. Isn't that sexy? I bet it is. Anyway, the boy was frightened, holding to the women. Apparently the man transitioned into womanhood. Two women now. Holding to the women like he did with his mother when he was smaller. He was one of those kids that wiped his mom's kisses off his face because he believed he was too old for such things. She wrapped her arms around him, protecting him. Of the three, the man was an atheist. What?
He always said of God, I'll believe it when I see it. And that short moment of dead silence converting him would have been easy. He was sure that he was being stared down by a demon that just crawled out of hell right before his eyes. The woman was thinking that.
Oh, God!
The creature lunges toward them, screaming at them loud with a deep guttural screeching.
It's coming for them!
Moving at inhuman speed, their eyes couldn't track if it hadn't been beelining straight for them. 50 yards of space was gone in the blink of an eye. The monster's bloodthirst hadn't been quenched in such a long time, and it wanted to kill them so badly. In a futile move. I mean, I guess it just wasn't hungry. It hungered from bloodlust. It just wasn't actually hungry. It just loved to kill. In a futile move, the man pushed the woman and boy in front of him. Why? Because he's the atheist? He's a coward, too? Cool. That's not something I'm used to seeing in, like, movies. Like, every religious movie I've ever made. He screamed, oh my god. Okay, they made it even worse. In a futile move, the man pushed the woman and boy in front of him. He turned around and began to run, screaming and crying harder than the woman and child. You know what? I bet he and the other author should team up and they'd be like, he was from San Francisco, the worst place in the world. Oh, gosh. It's getting hot in my Snuggie. I'm kind of regretting it now. Okay. I know I'm wearing a Snuggie and I'm drinking wine. This is like the fine life, if you ask me, for a December ? Day. He's mind overflowed with, this isn't happening. So much so, it was pouring from his mouth. And all caps, this isn't happening, this isn't happening, not me. The two on the ground were helpless, holding each other tight as they closed their eyes and waited. But the moment they waited for didn't come. Not yet. Her eyes opened for a glimpse, but nothing was there. A moment of relief was met with another terrible silence. She turned her head, she looked and saw. 10 feet away. The man was just standing there, but no, he wasn't standing. His feet were not touching the ground. Her eyes honed in on the face above the man's head. That face, it looked like a big smile. No skin or lips around the mouth, just exposed, sharp teeth. It was holding him up effortlessly with one clawed hand, but there was no blood. The man was shaking uncontrollably, staring into its eyes. She could hear him whispering, God help me! Someone save me! The devil's free hand rose up slow. Oh, apparently it's the devil now. Rose up slowly as the man's eyes followed, scraping its claws together, making the last sound he'll ever hear with the E-R-E, you know.
God, not!
Was all she heard as she closed her eyes tighter than before, right as its hand swiped across the screen of its phone as it swiped right on another Tinder profile, but yet again another match was not had.
Fuck, said the devil, this is why I kill.
Hold on, I gotta take this Snuggie off. It's burning like the devil.
Phew, that's better, okay.
Much better. This story was so good, I was getting scared, you guys. Okay, so, right as its hands swiped across, it swiped right, but no one swipes right on the devil. She felt blood raining down on her head, and her eyes came open again. The same sight as before, but this time, there was no head. Just blood, spewing from where it used to be, apparently like a Quentin Tarantino movie. See it now. What was left of the neck was sticking up, puking out filth, with a little white, sharp piece of neck bone poking out, separating the flow. And spraying it everywhere like a sprinkler. I do not believe you. Was it going around in little circles? Yeah, it is not. I don't believe her neck bone is going. You set it. Set it to go at 7 in the morning, every morning. What she didn't see was his head. Splitting like a watermelon, becoming a red stain in its hand. How she didn't, I guess she was too busy staring at the mechanics of his neck bone sprinkler to go, my God, how does that work, to notice that it was
breaking his head open, because she's more like, was that inside there the whole time? Is that in me? The creature slung the corpse away after its amusement had faded. She didn't close her eyes. I guess, like, the sprinkler stopped, and they're like, aww. That's why she didn't leave. She was just watching it go. She's like, what the fuck? She didn't close her eyes again. I guess she couldn't stop thinking. She's like, every time she closed her eyes, she pictures the sprinkler, and she's like, nope, I'm never closing them again. She knew she had to do something, but there was nothing she could do. She was scarred for life. She stood up. The kid was scared to death and wouldn't let her go. She pushed him away and yelled at him. Oh no, she's probably gonna die now too. Just! And she was cut off. The boy reminded her of her little brother. She was very protective of him. In this situation, she acted out of instinct. In her mind, she was going to distract the creature so the boy could run away. Maybe he could jump in that hole and escape. But the creature, in a moment so swift that not even the boy could have warned her in time, penetrated her through the nap of her neck and out through her throat with the tip of its sharp finger in a "come over here" gesture. Solid red trickles raced down the chest of her white jumpsuit. Her lips moved one more time. Run! The nail pulled from her throat, and the full set came back with such force her body was turned into dot, dot, dot. The boy initially saw just a cloud of red. Dissipating, because he didn't say dissipating. What was left wasn't even a body anymore. How? How? What? His claws ripped into her so much that her body wasn't even a body anymore. It was just red mist. That makes no sense. How'd her claws turn her into mist? That doesn't even make sense. No claws would turn... Okay, I'm ignoring this. Physics don't matter. The boy didn't have a semblance or a single hope of fathoming the horror in front of him. Okay. His body went into autopilot, getting up and running as fast as he could. But even if he did survive this, he would never get over something like this. For sure, his well-being was forever lost after this. Okay, you're 8. Way to fucking doomcast this shit. Damn. See a therapist first. You're 8. But the thing did not chase him. The boy hit the corner opposite of the gate where the monster came from. His back to the corner, looking right at it, didn't move. The creature shook blood and bloody chunks from its knives and started walking back to the gate. The small cage still open, the creature stepped in. The boy did not take his eyes off it. It turned and looked back at the boy, 100 yards on the other side of the cell. The boy saw the red eyes. He covered his eyes. The gate closed. The boy's name was Zach. Okay, thanks for telling us. You said we weren't going to know his name. Fucking liar. Zach was a good kid. He wanted to play baseball, but his mom wouldn't let him start until his grades came up. Oh, he is talking about himself. He didn't know why he was here. The very last thing he remembered was walking home from school because he lived just a few blocks away. He heard the gates close. He didn't move at all. He stayed put. Nothing happened. He was waiting for someone to come. Maybe his mother and father will come find him. Hours went by, though it was much longer to him. He finally stands up, shaking because his nerves are no longer stable. He walks with his eyes locked on the gate. He can't even begin to gather his thoughts, let alone wonder on a way out. But something caught his eye. He focused as far as his could tell. What? There was something next to the gate, like a black line, a crack, no, a gap. The gate, it wasn't closed. In that moment, he didn't feel anything. He didn't feel the puncturing of his flesh. He didn't feel his spinal cord sever. He didn't even feel his insides turn into something you'd see in a Blender ad. His body was in shock over... How many Blender ads do you see? I see 0. I don't even watch ads anymore. His body was in shock, overwhelmed with processing pain. Just a little movement was left in his neck. Was he all bound up like he'd been in a damned cramp hole? He could only look around aimlessly, no understanding of what has happened to him until he looked down. In his blurring vision, he saw 4 long white things look like dinosaur teeth. I fucking knew it! He was in the damned cramp hole! Covered in red. 2 of them grazed his sides, while 2 were going through him. Blood erupted in his throat. He choked on it, coughing up what little life was left in his young body. The claws redacted. What did they redact? Their testimony?
You know what? We take it back, Your Honor. Too late. And the boy fell, lifeless like a rag doll. The pool of blood he laid in looked like a mud puddle that he might have played in once along... Did he play in blood puddles? A long time ago. Or was his blood thick and chunky like mud? Lots of questions. There's rocks in it. Then maybe that's what killed him, not the dinosaur thing. The last thing he could see or thought he saw was his mother. She was telling him to see a doctor because his blood was far too thick. I mean, no, telling him to come up, come inside and clean up. A bunch of people just died from some weird lizard monster demon thing. That's the whole story. It makes no sense. We don't know who they are, why they're in this concrete room, what that thing was, why it killed them. We know that kid's name was Zach. He was a good kid, and then he saw his mom saying, "Hey, your blood shouldn't be as thick as mud. When you cut yourself and I went to clean it, it was thick and sludgy. I think you're drinking too much soda." But that was interesting to me. Well, that's the end of that garbage story. You know what? Entertaining enough. I think a 3.62 is a fitting story rating for this one. And I can't wait to see what the next one is. Let's go fucking back, phone. Do it. Okay, I finally found the next story because my fingers are dumb and just push a million buttons at once. This one is called Prey, with the grand total of, how many stars? 3.37 out of 10, 19 votes. There are two main routes that one can use to get from Napa to San Francisco. Not San Francisco. Burn it down! The first curves around through Emeryville, crosses over the Bay Bridge, and eventually arrives in the financial district. Every mile of the journey is well lit, populated and dotted by familiar signs of civilization. The same details are partially true of the second path, save for a long stretch of road that first crosses some hills, then eventually guides travelers through a dark, silent, and eerily isolated valley. It was there that I encountered something truly horrifying. You know, this is written pretty well, so what the fuck is so bad about this story that it's written bad? Like, or that people hate it? Is there no ending? Like, what's so bad about it? Because the writing seems okay. The grammar, punctuation, capitalization are all okay. Better than the other stories, so I'm wondering what's so wrong with this one. I'm suspicious, okay. I had recently become acquainted with a young woman who was unlike anyone I had ever met by that point in life. She was beautiful and brilliant, and we seemed to share an almost supernatural connection. Looking back, I realized that hormones and mild infatuation were playing tricks on my mind. But the time she and I were both not so secretly entertaining the idea of us being soulmates. The magnetism between us was so profound, in fact, that it prompted me to share everything about myself with her. We took a weekend trip to Napa, my hometown, spent some time with my friends, ate dinner with my parents, and just delighted in the sense of closeness that we both felt. Okay, what's going to happen with this shit? I'm getting more and more suspicious, you guys. I'm guessing it's got to be like boring or something, you know, not scary. Then, not long before we headed back to the city, the young woman and I decided to stop by a yard sale that we'd seen. Somehow or other, we got drawn into a conversation with the people selling their possessions, a middle-aged man and woman who claimed to see a spiritual link between me and my companion. They congratulated us on having found one another, but also offered a word of caution, hinting that some dark, otherworldly force would be attracted to our happiness.
"It will see you," the woman told us, "and it will try to feed on your love."
Wait, they're going to San Francisco. Is he going to turn gay? If it is honestly that San Francisco turns him gay, I will laugh so fucking hard. Oh my God. It's not going to be that good. It's going to be just like, "and then she left me," or some shit, or someone like broke into their house or something. It was creepy to say the least, but other than where romantic fantasies were concerned, neither my traveling partner nor I put any stock in the metaphysical. We thanked the couple for their time, exchanged a few passing well wishes, then got in the car and headed back to San Francisco, the Devil's Land. About half an hour later, we found ourselves on that stretch of empty road. The sun had set beneath an overcast sky, and the only visible lights in the area were those at the front of my car. Perhaps I was just mildly shaken by the warning that we'd received, but as we traveled that open expanse of nothingness, I started to feel like I was being watched. The young woman agreed with me, describing a sense of being stalked by some unseen predator.
It was me.
I gripped the steering wheel, keeping my eyes on the road, then shouted with terror and alarm as an enormous beast seemed to jump out of nowhere.
That's the beast, yeah. And what are you gonna do?
The impact was jarring, and I had to swerve to keep control.
Are you okay?
I asked of my companion.
The eyes, she whispered. Did you see the eyes?
No, I confessed. I didn't. I certainly wasn't texting, I said, hiding my phone quickly. What did you see?
They were red. They looked at me.
When we came to the first streetlight, I pulled off to the side of the road. My limbs were still shaking because I can't stop feeling the rhythm as I climbed out to assess any damage. I like to think that it was a great fucking song. And with some confusion, I found that there wasn't a single dent or scratch visible. For the first time that year, I hadn't gotten to an act accident. I can't speak. Let alone any sign of a collision. He was once again drunk on the road. Hallucinating. Stop doing mushrooms and driving. It's a terrible idea. My wife melted into a cactus. What are you doing? She said and flew away into the sun. I screamed and my head split into three. Mushrooms were a bad idea, I decided. Not good for this road trip, especially not with the kids. Where were the kids, I remembered, and then vaguely recalled having made a turkey an hour earlier. Two turkeys. Okay, sorry. Just getting off my own tangent.
Don't do drugs, kids.
There wasn't a single scratch or dent visible, let alone any side of a collision. Or a collusion Russia hoax. That's impossible. Impossible? She was drunk. The young woman protested, having heard my report.
That thing was enormous.
You're drunk. I don't believe you. Come look at this, I replied. I waited as she joined me near the front of my car, then leaned down and gently ran my finger across her pussy. No, across its hood. A thin, slightly cleaner line was left behind. Wash your pussy.
I don't understand, the girl said. I use water, so I was supposed to use soap.
If something hit us, how could there still be dust?
Maybe something didn't hit us, I replied. At least, maybe not something in the physical world.
Okay, I don't believe that you don't believe in the metaphysical if you suddenly jump to a ghost hit our car. I'm skeptical, and I never, ever, 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 ever jump to a ghost hit my car. Even in this situation, no. 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 Okay. No. It was an utterly ridiculous thing to say, of course. But I was drunk and high. Of course I shouldn't have drunk. The logical explanation was that we'd hit a wild boar, which had impacted the car in such a way as not to leave a mark. That makes no fucking... A combination of adrenaline and fantastical thinking had made us see the situation as being more otherworldly than it actually was, and we'd let ourselves get swept up in the terror of it all. Still, drove the rest of the way back to San Francisco in silence, all the while feeling like we were being followed. That's it? You had a fake deer or boar and you're fine? Fuck you, what a terrible story. Yeah, that deserves the I was right. Don't write a story where nothing happens. I think that's pretty much, like, even if you write a good story, if it's a good story where Jonathan takes a shit, I don't know why they're all Jonathan, but they are, and flushes it, and then it, like, gets clogged, and he's like, oh my god, what if there's snakes coming up the plumbing to kill us all? And then he, like, cleared the clog, and I was like, it could have been snakes. They never came back, and the drain was never clogged again, but I still think of those possible snakes.
Dude, a snake didn't jam its head up your asshole. I don't want to read the story. Don't tell me. It could have been something scary, but we'll never know. Fuck you. I want to know. Tell me. You're writing it. You can tell me. Don't act like you don't know, bitch. You're the author. Don't be like, I tell you guys, but it's too mysterious. No, it's not. You just don't know. Fucking asshole. All right. This one is called Pretty Lies. It's got 3.79 from 34 votes. It's the last creepypasta of the evening. This one says the estimated reading time is 6 minutes. I go on forever. I'm gonna hit the vape one more time for this shit. I'm hoping something happens. On this one, I'm like stretching and it's doing nothing. I don't know why. I give up. That was a big one. Don't believe Andor's lies, you guys. I'm Captain Bosch. Okay. Now, Pretty Lies. Not Andor's lies, I don't believe those fuckers. Okay. Getting ourselves grown up into sophisticated individuals. Wow. I kind of feel like I should read this in a southern accent. Getting ourselves grown up into sophisticated individuals. I mean, come on. Getting ourselves grown up into sophisticated individuals. We've forgotten what glorious mess we were back in the old days, when the world seemed so tall from our heads, when teasing and fooling around with those tall figures like Slender Man was so much fun. We were all pretty liars, lying about every second thing we've been asked by the tall people. I'm tall, nothing wrong with being tall. Don't believe her slander. 0 out of 10. Tall is amazing. I mean, small's good too, but you know, shit on tall people. Fuck you, I'll step on you. That perplexed look on their faces was the best part, because they had a hard time guessing whether we're actually telling truth this time or lying again. These days were so lovely, so lively. Honey, switch off the TV now. You're getting late for school. Little Gerald stood up from the couch, mending his jumpsuit in the process. He has a self-mending jumpsuit. Okay, it takes place in the future. When little Gerald stands up from the couch, standing activates your clothing's mending powers. He apparently ripped his pants open while he was laying down. And once he stood up, they mended themselves. And switched off the television as Dennis the Menace finally rolled their credits. He was happy he completed the whole episode this time, which he often misses. Oh, it's changing tense. That's fun. He was happy he completed the whole episode this time, which he often misses, as he leaves for the school every day by then. He quickly picks up his tiny school bag and rushes off to the door, as if he has been standing there since a long while and it was his mom making him late. Aha! Dorothy Williams, a skinny blonde with an angry grin on her face, reaches for Gerald. I'm picturing her throttling him.
Have you seen the car keys, Gerald? I'm sure I saw them right there on the cupboard this morning.
Pointing toward the elegant wooden cupboard on her left.
Oh, I know, Mommy, I know. I saw them on the couch when I was watching TV.
As soon as his mother left the scene, Gerald pulls out... Oh, I love the tense changes. It hurts. Pulls out his right hand from the pocket and throws the keys flying above on the cupboard. Oh, God. He throws the keys flying above on the cupboard. He threw the keys that were flying above the cupboard. The keys fly. Future has flying keys confirmed. He flew up to the cupboard to grab the keys that were flying themselves and flung them. He flung them where they were supposed to be kept.
That's strange. There were no keys on the couch. I oughta...
She looks at the keys.
Gerald! How many times shall I tell you not to mess around? Especially at such a wrong time!
You only do it at the right time.
I know you must have kept them there when I left.
No, Mommy, I didn't.
The frustrated mother neither had time for arguing with her son, nor did she want to get late anymore. Yeah, I don't want to get late either. Both of them now drifted toward the hatchback sedan and soon left the big Victorian house. Towards a long, endless street, I doubt it's actually endless, with houses of all shapes and sizes on both sides. Or it is endless and it just circumnavigates the globe. It never ends. It goes the entire globe. Amazing. And the houses go under the ocean as well, or it's got a huge bridge. It's the future, like I said. Maybe it flies too. The car took a left turn after a quarter mile towards another street. After a drive of another couple of minutes, the car stopped. The door on the passenger side opened wide. Beyond the metal door on the ground emerged two small feet. I mean, can you not just say they fucking drove to the house? You gotta take a step by step into what driving is like, bitch. I mean, I get that the endless road is interesting, but give me more. And behind the black-tinted windshield, let me guess, was somebody driving? Oh my God. I hope you can tell me if they had feet. And one could see the driver bending slightly toward the little passenger to kiss him goodbye. Honey, I have an important meeting. Oh yeah, it's this lady, never mind.
Honey, I have an important meeting this noon and won't be able to drop you back to home. I've asked Mr. Winters to pick you up along with his son. Take care, bye-bye.
Gerald nodded, swinging his bag pack round his back. It's his bag pack round his back. Call it a backpack. He rushed towards the school with enough confidence and determination in eyes to give his teachers a hard time at school. He rushed towards the school with enough confidence and determination in eyes to give his teachers a hard time at school. That's quite the sentence. I'm really glad they reminded me he was at school, because halfway through I forgot. After a few hours, the gates of the Marigolds Primary School opened. Little toddlers started spilling out. That seems like poor child management, but who knows what the future has. Gerald came gossiping with his gang. Gossiping out the doors, you say? Is it like galloping? And the horse, they're off, they're gossiping. Hey, number one's talking about number three. Number three is talking about number 12. Number 12, it says number three's an asshole. And, like, what the hell? Easily distinguishable from others amidst the crowd. Just then he saw Mr. Winters. He's Mr. Winters. He's Mr. Icicle. He's Mr. Snow. Eagerly waiting for his son and Gerald to arrive.
Hello, Gerald. We'll leave for your home as soon as Carter comes.
He speaks like those IRS agents that leave me messages on the phone about my social security number being stolen, Google Play cards and all that.
Hello, Gerald. We'll leave for your home as soon as Carter comes. Just stick with me. He will be here soon.
Like, I don't know you, mister. Bad touch. But Gerald was the kind of a kid who would do anything but the exact opposite of what is instructed to him. Wait, so he'll do what's told to him? He was the kind of kid who would do anything but the opposite of what is told to him. So he just does what he's told? Stop saying it in such a roundabout way! Moreover, he's a grown-up now. And the tallest in his class. He can go home all by himself. Perhaps that's what he thinks. No need, Mr. Winters. Oh, wait, there's that kid.
No need, Mr. Winters. You see my mom over there? Here I go.
Before Mr. Winters could check if his mother has really arrived or not, the little boy was vanished from the crowd. And there were so many toddlers spilling out anyway, there were easy pickings for the predators. He figured Gerald's fine. He's got an annoying voice anyway. No one wants that. On the way back home, Gerald was walking and skipping all around. Wee, wee! When his eyes fell on something which made him stop his feet. Thank God. Gerald saw a weird-looking, shabbily dressed, gothic lady. It was me! Oh my God, Gerald! Hi! Her face was as pale as dried, dead autumn leaves. It's me! Her head tilted slightly towards left, with eye sockets embedded with something, but definitely not eyes. Yeah, that's like me!
Oh, wait, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. Okay, she's a monster. Like me, but, you know, I can see, so. But definitely not eyes. Wrinkles running all over her face with a smile not as wide as the one Gerald's mom used to see in late-night horror shows. But the smile was grim enough to frighten anyone who looks upon it. That tells me nothing. So, it's not as scary smiles you've seen, but still pretty scary. Okay, thanks. Thanks for telling me it's a moderate amount of terror from her smile. Yeah, like, give me a 1 to 10. On a piss-yourself meter, like a 1 being, like, the best smile ever, and a 10 being, like, it literally ate your face while you're looking at it, you know? Literally ate your eyes. It's that bad. Her hands are motionless, suspending downwards from her shoulders awkwardly, as if rope suspended off an upright corpse. Did she seem like she came from a damned cramp hole? Because they seem to have that kind of weird shambly motion. It's the cramp holes that are doing it. So, like, maybe if you guys stop cramming into one apartment, maybe get, like, a bigger space, move to a cheaper area, because that's not healthy. Gerald was fear-ridden. Obviously. Period. One word. That's it. Obviously. Ugh. No matter how much naughty and peculiar type of a child he was, yet still he was a mere 6-year-old. What? Well, no shit, he's terrified. He's fucking 6. He's scared of the dark. He's not to be a corpse lady. He's 6. You go, ooh, Santa's not real, and he'd piss himself crying. What the hell? His head dripped streams of sweat running all the way down to his belly. Was his head pissing? His legs started trembling, and his face, which always wore a naughty smile, now frowned with fear. Without wasting any moment, Gerald rushed towards his home with all his might. He'd never run that fast before. Overpowered with panic, the swift little kid fell badly on the road and hurt his knees. That seems like a typing exercise. The lazy dog. With tears in his eyes and blood oozing off his knees, Gerald reached his home. He threw the welcome carpet in front of the main door in the air, picked up the keys, unlocked the door, and quickly shut it with a thud once inside. It was 2 hours later when Dorothy arrived in the house and saw some red liquid stains on the floor. Maybe it's tomato sauce. At first she was shocked, but soon this apprehension was turned into suspicion. She thought Gerald was playing his games with her again. Why did she leave her 6-year-old alone? A 6-year-old should not be walking home alone. A 6-year-old should not be left alone. I mean, am I wrong? That's, like, really fucking young. 6? She's like, oh, that naughty 6-year-old. 6? Is he even in kindergarten? Like, first grade? What? Okay. I guess he's some kind of super genius, evil, prank master 6-year-old. It's like he's a YouTube sensation. He's like, haha, just kidding. This corpse lady was a prank, Mom. She thought Gerald was playing games with her as he did the ketchup bloodstain prank last month. This bitch can't tell the difference between ketchup and blood. What is it with everybody with gravy-textured blood in these things? Your blood. Am I the only one with liquid blood? Why is your blood so viscous? See a doctor. She followed stains to Gerald's bedroom to see her son having wounds on his knees. Wow, I hope no one calls CPS again, she thought. He'll get taken away this time for sure. She soon realized he must have had some prank gone wrong scenario. What? He's 6. He's 6. The only way he tripped and skinned his knees as a 6-year-old is a prank gone wrong scenario. Why are you a parent? The kid is 6. It's a prank, bro. I skinned my knees as a prank, Mommy. It's a prank. I don't know what plus one because I'm 6. But whatever it was, the wounds were legit. Oh, so you don't have to beat his ass? Wow, I can't believe your 6-year-old went to such lengths to prank you. Crazy! Next, he'll say his grandfather's been molesting him. Whoa! Like, what the hell, lady? But the wounds were legit, so was the blood. Hence, she first of all applied band-aids to her son, gave him a lovely hug, and then asked him affectionately,
"Okay, Jerry, if you tell CPS, you have to go away forever."
No, she didn't say that.
"Okay, Jerry, Mommy wants to know what happened. I won't scold you, but please speak truth this time."
Oh, she got back from her job. It was faking the IRS thing. That's why she can't speak. "Okay, Jerry, Mommy wants to know what happened. I won't scold you, but please speak truth this time." Jerry honestly described the whole scene to his mother. But due to his fame of being a liar of liars, she thought he's lying again. Must have fought with some kid and lying in order to hide his faults. Due to his fame of being a liar of liars, she thought he's lying again and must have fought with some kid and lying in order to hide his fault. That sentence says lying four times. Versions of lying four times in one sentence. I love it. Little did she know that the poor kid was not lying. The liar of lies was not lying. He's six. She left him alone in his room in anger without uttering a single word. I'm sorry the age thing is getting to me, but he's fucking six. Have you met a six-year-old? Have you been six? Have you been six? Have you ever known or been a child? You have. If you're listening to this, you've been a child at one point. At six. I should not have been left alone. Yeah. But never mind. It was written by an eight-year-old, so what am I saying? Let's see. I'm sorry, it's getting... I need another hit. She left him alone in his room in anger without uttering a single word. You're right. CPS should get involved. I say you're right. I'm talking to myself. You're right, me. All right. Gerald never felt so much helpless and lonely before. After a few minutes, he changed his robes. He has more than one set of robes at six. That kid's got a big, it's a big wardrobe. I'm picturing a young Hugh Hefner, but he's being abused. And came downstairs towards the telephone. He was calling Edward. He was calling Edward. This six-year-old changed robes to go call his friend Edward. He's not six. He's a 40-year-old man living in the 1920s. Just when he was about to close the door, he saw the same familiar figure he encountered a couple of hours ago. But this time, it was standing right in the front of the house in the middle of the road, with face tilted left towards him. He shut the door quickly, grabbed Edward's hand, and rushed towards his room. He didn't leave his hand until both were seated on the bed. Edward, I want to tell you something.
Yeah, sure, Jerry. I'm listening.
Remember, they're both sick, so just keep that in mind.
Today, when I was coming back to home from school,
I what? Said Edward.
Gerald didn't speak and was completely motionless now. Are you even going to say something, Gerald?
Stop playing your old games with me. Just then, Gerald replied in a whispering tone.
There's someone behind you.
Oh, really? Shall I expect a boogeyman behind me right now?
Stop lying, Gerald. You shouldn't lie.
That's actually the lines, including shall. 40-year-old man from the 1920s. This is not a 6-year-old. With a zapping sound of incision, the creepy gothic lady cut Edward exactly in half with her nails, which now seemed to be like needles. Wow, what a coincidence! Blood fell all over Gerald's face and clothes, and the little kid shouted helplessly. Gerald quickly rushed downstairs looking for his mother. She saw blood all over him again. Just when Gerald explained what happened, she exclaimed,
"Enough, Gerald! Enough of these tricks, pranks, and lying! You don't have any idea how many problems you create for me! Stop lying, Gerald! You shouldn't lie!"
"Mom, she's behind you!"
Before Dorothy could even react, or say a word, or look behind, she shared the same fate as that of Edward. Her body cut perfectly in half from top to bottom. They should hire that gothic lady for a factory. She just, shear big people all day. Or a butcher, right? Cows, right in half.
"No!" cried Gerald.
The left part of her body fell leftwards, while the right one fell on Gerald, with blood flowing all over the floor. The old lady now seemed much bigger, darker, and creepier, now with a wide smile running from her left ear to right ear, thus revealing her sharp teeth hundreds in number. She spring-pounced upon Gerald, with her nails penetrating deep inside his eyes.
"No! Leave me, please! Help! You shouldn't have lied, Gerald! You shouldn't lie! Now you'll die, kid! Time to go to sleep! Sleep! No!"
I guess it's both of them arguing, I don't know. Just then, Gerald saw a much familiar face as he slowly opened his eyes. It was his mom, frightened by him crying at midnight and waking him up. It was all a dream. Fuck you, story writer, you lazy piece of shit. And perhaps it was just a nightmare.
"Mother, a bad dream. You, Edward, and me, all dead, Mommy. All dead, that old lady."
"Really, Gerald? I don't think it was a dream. Perhaps you were trying to scare me, as you always do."
"But, Mommy, I swear, I'm not lying."
"Tell me the truth. It was not a dream, right?"
"It really was a dream, Mom."
"Stop lying, Gerald. You shouldn't lie."
"Because..."
Gerald notices Mom's voice and face changing gothically.
"I said it was not a dream, and I told you that you shouldn't lie. Day or die, kid. Time to go to deep sleep."
And the bed he was lying on filled with blood once again. Apparently, he pissed blood. 3.79 out of 10. That was ridiculous. I enjoyed the fuck out of it. I give it 6.66 out of 10. Same with tonight. I had a great time. I hope you enjoyed it too. Thank you very much for coming. And I hope to see you again next week. All right. Talk to you then. Mwah. Bye.